cares what happens to the poor defenceless old women?" The path vanished abruptly on the edge of a glade. Hemmed in by the trees was a straggly kitchen garden in which a few pathetic storks fought for what little sun there was. In the middle of the garden was what had to be a thatched cottage, because no one would build a haystack that badly. They leapt off the broomsticks, leaving them to drift to a halt in the bushes, and hammered on the cottage door.
"We could be too late," said Nanny. "The wolf might..."
After a while there was the muffled sound of someone shuffling across the floor within, and then the door opened a crack. A suspicious eye was visible in the gloom.
"Yes?"
said a small and quavering voice from somewhere beneath the eye. "Are you grandmother?" Granny Weatherwax demanded.
"Are you the tax gatherers, dear?"
"No, ma'am. We're,
fairies," said Fairy Hedgehog quickly.
"I don't open the door to people I don't know, dear," said the voice, and then it took on a slightly petulant tone, "especially people who never does the washing up even after I leaves out a bowl of nearly fresh milk for 'em."
"We'd like to talk to you for a few minutes," said Fairy Daisy.
"Yes. Have you got any identification, dear?"
"I know we've got the right grandmother," said Fairy Hedgehog. "There's a family likeness. She's got big ears."
"Look, it's not her that's got the big ears," snapped Fairy Daisy. "It'll be the wolf that's got the big ears. That's the whole point. Don't you ever pay attention?"
The grandmother watched them with interest. After a lifetime of believing in them, she was seeing fairies for the first time, and it was an experience. Granny Weatherwax caught her perplexed expression.
"Put it like this, ma'am," she said in a despotically reasonable tone of voice. "How would you like to be eaten alive by a wolf?"
"I don't think I'd like that, dear, no," said the hidden grandmother.
"The alternative's us," said Granny.
"Lawks, are you sure?"
"On our word, as fairies," said Fairy Hedgehog.
"Well, really? All right, you can come in, but none of your tricks, and mind you do the washing up. You haven't got a pot of gold about you, have you?"
"That's pixies, isn't it?"
"No, they're the ones in wells. It's goblins, she means."
"Don't be daft, they're the ones you get under the bridges."
"That's trolls. Everyone knows that's trolls."
Well, not us, anyway."
"Oh," said the grandmother. "I might have known."
Magrat liked to think she was good with children, and worried that she wasn't. She didn't like them very much, and worried about this too. Nanny Ogg seemed to be effortlessly good with children by alternately and randomly giving them either a sweet or a thick ear, while Granny Weatherwax ignored them for most of the time, and that seemed to work just as well. Whereas Magrat cared. It didn't seem fair.
"Bet you a million, trillion, zillion dollars you can't turn that bush into a pumpkin," said the child.
"But, look, all the others got turned into pumpkins," Magrat pointed out.
"It's bound not to work sooner or later," said the child placidly.
Magrat looked helplessly at the wand. She'd tried everything, wishing, sub-vocalising, and even when she'd thought the other witches were out of earshot, banging it against things and shouting, "Anything but pumpkins!"
"You don't know how to do it, really, do you?"
stated the child.
"Tell me," said Magrat, "you said your mummy knows about the big bad wolf in the woods, didn't you?"
"That's right.
But nevertheless, she sent you out by yourself to take those goodies to your granny."
"That's right. Why?"
"Nothing. Just thinking. And you owe me a million, trillion, zillion, squillion dollars."
There's a certain Freemasonry about grandmothers, with the added benefit that no one has to stand on one leg or recite any oaths in order to join. Once inside the cottage, and with the kettle on the boil, Nanny Ogg was quite at home. Grebo stretched out in front of the meagre fire and dozed off as the witches tried to explain.
"I don't see how a wolf can get in here, dear," said the grandmother kindly. "I mean, they're wolves. They can't open doors."
Granny Weatherwax twitched aside a rag of curtain and glared out at the clearing.
"We know," she said.
Nanny Ogg nodded towards the little bed in an alcove by the fireplace.
"Is that where you always sleep?" she said.
When I'm feeling poorly, dear,